right, here we go. For immunity and reward. Drivers ready. Go!
Well, hello everyone and welcome to Survivors Ready. This is the podcast where we, and when I say we, I mean myself and Fatty, we review, and others, we review the show Survivor. And we are joined this season, I believe this is going to be the only person. Oh, hi Fatty.
Hi.
And
am I on?
Yeah, you're on. Okay. We are joined this season.
Normally you mute me.
I did.
This isn't
mute
a
you
pre-recorded intro? Huh.
No, that's only for the Big Brother show. But because that makes sense. Because the name of the Big Brother recap is Butt First. So you need to have a little tonight. We're talking about whatever, whatever, whatever. Butt First.
Oh, I see.
And so I pre-record that. So it sounds a little more professional than it would if I tried to read
than
it
this
live. Than this, yes. So anyway, this season for Survivor Edge of Extinction, which is what I
show,
which is what I do every evening, we are joined by Faye L. Driver III. Hello.
Why, hello. I thank you for recognizing my heritage.
The official note taker.
Well, this isn't a video podcast, but yes, I have four pages of notes today.
Of
all
every...
right, wait a minute. Now we have a Mib in the chat room that says they are not Digger, that he had to be shoveling off. I don't know what that.
Oh, well, that would
snowbound.
If this person knows where Digger is, then it would have to be T Wiggles, because who else would know where Digger was?
No, it's either the old gal. No, she's busy throwing lemons at egrets. Or it may be Miss Bacon. Maybe Miss
because
Bacon.
You know, speaking of Miss Bacon, I gotta, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say this or not on you know, live.
Wait,
and
is
recorded.
This a, wait a minute, is this a personal story here?
Well, it could be.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if it's, if you can categorize it however you want to.
Faye, we'll put you in charge of if this is a personal story.
I'll decide.
We were just talking about stuff and Kathy Bacon came up and she messaged me the other day on Twitter and this is what I got. Chubsgonewild@gmail.com. Would you consider sending an e-letter guessing the secret birthday is Kathy? That was the message to me.
Oh.
And I didn't know what it was about. So I assume.
Well, I believe her birthday was yesterday, was it not?
It's today.
Oh, today. Oh.
Well, yeah. Happy birthday, Kathy. Happy birthday.
She and Stevie B.
Ah.
So.
Now, my personal story was, I think Baptists are judgmental.
Oh.
And so I.
That sounds awfully personal.
Well, you know,
That sounds judgmental, actually.
I do consider that's true. Isn't that ironic that I'm passing judgment on judgmental Baptists? But I consider, as most people know, I consider myself to be a Christian and I do attend church. However, since I've been attending the Baptist church, I generally have just been doing the music portion of the service. So I go and play and then, you know, I do something in between and then I play the second service and but today because it snowed and I had trouble getting to church, I stayed for the service and actually listened. Oh. And I just find that the sermons at a Baptist church are not really uplifting. They're more of how many
hellfire,
brimstone, how many sins can we call out in one message? You know, how many people can we say are basically going to hell in the course of a 45-minute message or whatever? That's how I feel.
And then 18 verses of Just As I Am.
Well, today homosexuals were not singled out.
Oh, I was going to ask.
So I think I'm okay. I mean, from that. But, you know, drunkenness, partying, any of that other stuff. Not specifically homosexuality, but like... other things were called out today.
Would Baptists actually be getting drunk and dancing, though?
Oh, well, they have to go buy their liquor in the next county so nobody sees them buying it.
All right.
So I just, I felt judged this morning. That's all.
Oh, are you a dancing alcoholic?
Not really. But I knew homosexuality was just unspoken. They just they just forgot that one this morning.
Well, somebody's maybe getting their ass chewed for forgetting that one.
Yeah. Maybe they left it out because they knew you were in the room.
Maybe so. When I'm not there, they call me by name.
Faye, do you have a personal story?
I don't know. I honestly don't really. I don't think
you have a special day tomorrow.
I do. I was going to say we should wish Cassie Bacon and Stevie B happy birthday. We didn't really say that. So happy birthday to them. And then, yeah, it's my birthday tomorrow.
You'll be completing your 52nd year.
Yes, I will be. Yes, that's correct.
So
only 84, 52 minus 84 only 32 more years to go and I'm done.
Oh, okay.
And Mib is wishing me a happy Faye Day. Thank you.
Oh, happy Faye Day.
Wait, you're 52 or you will be?
I will be 52.
No, he ends his 52nd year tomorrow.
So you'll be 53?
No,
I'll be 52.
You're confusing me, Fatty. Let's just say
Born, you're zero. When you have your first birthday, you've completed your first year. So when you turn 52, you've completed your 52nd year.
I feel like that's too much math.
You start your 53rd year.
Well, anyway, happy birthday tomorrow. How many
now
more
he's
years,
even more depressed.
How many more years did you say you were going to have left?
32.
So you're going to die at age 84?
That's how my financial plan ends at 84.
Oh.
So when the 84 hits, that's it. I'm done.
That's oddly specific. So are you going to end your own life? You're going to be like, I'm out of money. I'm cutting it off here.
Yeah, I have enough money to make it to 84. And when I get to 84, I'll be like, depending on the kindness of strangers.
Or the closer you get to 84, you'll be living more and more riskily. I don't know if that's a word, but
wait a minute. Now, Faye, when you came to Las Vegas, you left your door open and you were depending on the kindness of strangers also. I mean,
of course, knowing you will still be driving all the way up until, you know, whenever. And that will become more and more risky each year that you're doing
it. Oh, absolutely.
So it will. You know,
my father is 82 and he's still driving. He just can't remember where he's going.
Well, that's. Okay. Well, just remember, you're from his loins.
I know that.
You know what he should do is write on a post-it note where he was going and then stick the post-it note to the windshield. And then he can just keep looking at the post-it note.
He'll look at the post-it and hit the car in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but first.
No, wrong show.
Oh, I'm sorry. So are we ready for us to talk about Survivor?
We are. Well, I'm ready to talk about Survivor.
Well, this is the edge of extinction. By the way, we won't be joined on a regular basis this season. You touched on this, Adam, by Chris from Tennessee, from New Jersey, from Tennessee, who said, I just can't be to be on the show this season. And Survivor savant Evan Ayers also said he was not going to be able to join us for every episode, but he might stick his head in every once in a while.
That's
okay.
That happens to you fairly frequently. I was trying to think of a snappy comeback, and it didn't happen.
Well, the last time he was on
about
here,
sticking
he was
someone's
on
head
deathbed.
In.
Well, he only has ever been on one episode, so
I was going to say, don't guys normally stick their head in occasionally? I mean, you know.
Anyway,
I don't.
All right,
I got nothing.
Oh dear.
All right. So, Edge of Extinction.
39 days, 18 people.
One survivor. All right. So, Faye, would you like to get us started?
I don't know.
We've got two episodes to review tonight.
Right. Can I go, Adam? Do you have anything you want to?
No, go.
Okay. So,
survivors ready? Go.
Episode number one. A boat comes steaming across the screen on the ocean. And where are they anyway? Is it Fiji or something?
They're always out there somewhere, yeah.
Okay. So we start with 14 people that we meet, a bunch of newbies. There's all kinds of them, and we have four returnees.
They show up on a separate boat, and some of the girls get all tingly Joe is coming aboard. Oh, it's Joe!
Can we talk about Joe's handlebar mustache?
Awful.
I mean, what's going on there? And you know, because they can't shave, they don't have any way to shave. I would not personally start off the season with a handlebar mustache, because those handlebars are going to be down to his balls by the end of the.
He's going to look like Wilford Brimley by the time the season is over.
I would start off freshly shorn everywhere.
Ugh.
Because by the end of 30 days, I'm going to be a woolly mammoth anyway. But I don't want to start off with a bunch of hair.
Mm, Faye? That sounds tasty. Yeah, okay, whatever. I was impressed that Joe was able to make fire out of a piece of bamboo with nothing else but some bamboo and another piece of bamboo. So he's got that going for him. There are plenty of attractive men on the show this year. So
do you want me to read do you want me to read the names?
Please.
Sure.
So we have Dan the War Dog Da Silva. He's from New York, and he's a military man who's now in law. We have Reem Daly, who's a 46-year-old woman from Virginia. She's a mom. We have Rick Devins, who is 33-year-old Virginia resident, who is a morning news anchor on a local news station. We have Wendy Diaz, who has Tourette's. She's 25 from Los Angeles.
Wait a minute. What was that? Ugh. I like this Wendy.
She has green hair, and she's a small business owner.
Anybody with green hair is not going to win.
It's blue. Excuse me. It's blue. Best color.
It looks green on my monitor here. We have Lauren O'Connell, who looks like a fitness model in this photo. She's 21 from Bakersfield, California, and she's a student at Baylor University. Oh, that's not too far away from me. We have Keith Sowell. He's 19 from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Mama's boy.
And he's a pre-med student who has very pointy nipples.
Yes. I know. He does have strange nipples. I didn't like them.
Can't swim worth a shit.
We have Chris Underwood, who is age 25 from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Blue shorts.
Delicious.
And he is a district sales manager. And by the way, I don't know if this is in your notes later, Faye, but he has
an enormous
bulge that goes straight down. I mean, there's like this, there's a shot of him that his dick is just like, boom.
Joe in Dallas sent this to me, and I went, holy smokes.
I'm sure you didn't notice it in the episode, Fatty, but I did. In fact,
I did.
Mark rewound it because he noticed it, and he was like, oh, my God, look at that. Anyway, I don't know. Did you notice that, Faye?
I didn't. I don't know specifically what you're talking about, but I do know that he does have the most impressive underwear.
Yeah, he does.
Depressive or impressive?
Impressive. Nice.
I want him to stay just for the bulge.
Yeah, well, it's the underwear is filled and it's not in the back.
We have a returning Kelly Wentworth, who is 31 from Ephrata, Washington, or Seattle's where she lives now. She's a marketing manager, and she's been on two previous seasons, but never has won.
Two? That's not fair.
We have David Wright, who is 44 from Philadelphia, and he is a television writer.
And now, David,
when he was on before, he was scared of everything.
Yeah. And he has very small nipples. And he was scared of everything. He was on Millennials versus Gen X.
So we're doing the bulge and the nipple report.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
We have Joe Anglim, who has a handlebar mustache and a man bun. And he is a returning as well. He's 29.
He's pretty. He's pretty, but that mustache is ugh.
He's very good at physical challenges, and that is evident by the team that he's on doing very well in the first two episodes. He lives in Ogden, Utah, and he's a multimedia artist. We have he's a returner as well. He was in Worlds Apart and Second Chance. Aubrey Bracco is 32 from New Hampshire, Hampton Falls, New Hampshire. She lives in Los Angeles currently. She's a marketing director. She was in Kaorong. I don't.
Oh, and Game Changers. Okay. They put that super up for her. I never understood what that meant.
Yeah. And none of these returners won their seasons. These are all second chancers. Victoria Bamonde. I don't know how you say it. She's 23 from Bronx, New York. Yeah. She has red hair.
Tippy long stockings.
She's a waitress. And her pet peeves are slow walkers, leaving cabinets open, and her guinea pig named Peeve.
It sounds to me like she is the female version of that Peter G. Anyway.
Ron Clark is from Chicawinity, North Carolina. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. He is 46. He's he currently lives in Atlanta. He's a teacher. And I think he's gay.
He is gay.
Oh, okay. He is because gay.
When I was visiting my mother a few weeks ago, a teacher here. And then he said on one of the episodes that my husband or something like that.
So wait a minute. So, which guy is this?
Ron Clark.
Was he the guy who was dancing, doing the dance?
And yes.
He was teaching on the dance.
Okay. Thank you.
That's when I realized he was gay. We have Julia Carter, who is 24. She's from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. She currently lives in Bethesda, Maryland. She's a medical assistant. We have Eric Halfman. He's 34, from Chicago. He lives in Livermore, California. He's a firefighter.
He's kind of hot, too.
We have Aurora McCreary, who is 32, from Pensacola, Florida. She lives in Orlando currently. She is a divorce lawyer.
Oh, yeah. She's a hottie.
We have Julie Rosenberg, who's 46, from Baltimore, and she currently lives in New York City, and she's a toy maker. Interesting. Gavin Whitson, who is a Southern boy. He's from Irwin, Tennessee.
Oh, yeah. He's a cutie, too.
And he's a YMCA program director.
And isn't he young?
Mm-hmm. He is, if my page will scroll. I think I said how old he was. He's 23.
Okay.
He has a nice tattoo on his shoulder, actually.
Thank you.
Anyway, that is our contestants. I didn't say what tribe they were on. Sorry, but I'm not going to go back through that now.
No.
Very good.
There we go. So four returners and how many ever you said newbies?
14.
All right. So then they start building relationships right away. And on the Manu tribe, which are the Blues, the three people immediately get a big arrow target painted on them, which is Reem, Keith, and Wendy. Wendy is the blue hair girl. Keith is the young black kid who can't swim.
With the pointy nipples.
Right. And Reem is the older woman who's quite annoying, as it turns out.
Well, she keeps moving shit around.
Right.
Well, apparently she was being kind of a mom where people would lay their stuff on the beach. I don't know, their shoes to dry or something. And she thought that was not a good location for them. So she would like move them and hang them over a tree branch or, you know, and she thought she was being helpful, but no one liked it. They were all annoyed.
All right. So that's the Manu tribe already singling people out for hanging out together.
And they were all swimming together also.
Right. Well, they were teaching.
They were trying to help Keith learn how to swim better.
Right. Which is, I thought that was very endearing, by the way.
I did. I agree.
So that's nice. They're trying to help their team members, you know, be better. On the Kama tribe, the yellow team, the hot team, with all the sexy men on it. Let's see. Eric and Gavin want to keep Joe as a shield. Eric is the firefighter. Gavin is the young guy. The young YMC guy. So they're saying, awesome, keep Joe, and we'll get rid of him later. He can take all the heat. Eric made a very interesting comment about Joe's big, beautiful shoulders. Did anyone catch on to that?
I did not hear that.
No, so that that perked me up. And I don't think
Did you notice Joe's big, beautiful shoulders?
You know, Joe as an overall package is pretty good.
Okay.
I didn't notice his shoulders particularly, but I did notice Eric's six-pack.
Uh-huh. Well, now he's the firefighter, right?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Well, no wonder you would find him extremely attractive. Keeping it in with the family, so to
That's
speak.
That's right. Exactly. Yep. Okay. I'm pulling for Eric. Hubba hubba. I find Aubrey, the returner, rather annoying. I would like to see her gone.
Well, I don't know if it was in the first episode or not, because I watched them back to back, but they were showing how she was going to each of the players on her team and saying, you know, you remind me a lot of me.
Yes.
I think, you know, she was like, I think we need
to have
But
she said it to every one of them.
And she said, let's have a dialogue. And she said, let's have a dialogue to like everybody. And you remind me of me. I think you're playing exactly like, you know, we should have a dialogue. And the redheaded girl, who I already can't remember her name, but the redheaded pigtails girl, Pippi Longstockings, she caught on to that relatively quickly and was like, this Aubrey. Oh, Victoria. She was going talking to people and was like, oh, this Aubrey, she's trying to, you know, get close to everybody.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we didn't spend a lot of time. I mean, we met all the people and then we went directly.
We should start off saying that they started off on the boat and they said, you know, they had 2 minutes to get all of their supplies into their individual boats. And there was a secret advantage that was picked up by the guy that's the school teacher, the gay school teacher.
Right.
Okay.
I don't remember the secret advantage. Do Adam, do you?
Yes. He found it on the boat right before.
Yes.
Well, he
but
found
what was it?
Oh, it was a menu. And it had three different advantages on it. I think it had three different advantages, and he had to choose one of them. And
He's got to use it like within the first three or four tribal councils or something.
I don't remember that part, so I can't say. But I just know there were three options, and he had to choose one.
Okay,
but I don't remember how quickly he had to use it. I don't recall them spending a lot of time on that other than like immediately when they started building their camp or whatever, he goes off next to the tree mail because that's what the clue told him to do, you know, measures out 3 feet from the tree mail and starts digging
it up.
Yeah.
All right. So they get all their stuff and they start hiking it in their boats for the shore, I guess. Day three rolls around, and we have the first immunity challenge. So this challenge is you climb a rope. One person climbs the rope, cross the balance beam. These challenges are very complicated.
They are.
You climb a rope and let something down.
Now, didn't they climb a rope and ring a bell? And then they go back down. Was that the one where they climb the rope, ring the bell, go back down?
Then someone has to cross the balance beam. And more than one person can cross the balance beam after the rope climb's done. Someone has to untie a bar, flip the beam. They get a tool or a bar to help flip the beam, which makes crossing the balance beam easier.
Right. It was like a three-level balance beam or something like
that. It looked pretty challenging. Many people failed on it. But anyway, then someone climbed something, pulled a rope to release a slide. Then they could all slide down the thing, and then they all go solve a puzzle. And it's a gigantic puzzle. It's like big shipping crates they have to shove around. And it's like the the puzzle with the one, the sliding puzzle. One,
yes, the sliding puzzle.
One missing tile in it, and you got to move all the things around. All right, so.
Kelly Wentworth, by the way, fell off herself. The balance beam and clocked herself in the head, and she was bleeding.
Right.
And I did notice one other thing. Well, not notice something, but the hot schlong guy and Joe were the two ones that climbed the rope. And I feel like those are going to be the two athletic guys of the season. They both did a very good job climbing the rope, which is very difficult. We know Joe from past seasons is very athletic, and I'm sensing that this Chris, I think his name is Chris, Schlong dude, is going to be very athletic as well. And they paired themselves up on that rope climb, which I found. Mm-hmm. And they were neck and neck. Like,
right.
Schlong and Schlong.
Yeah, Schlong and Schlong.
Schlong and Schlonger.
So they go through this. They seem to be pretty close, except for one. One group, I believe the which tribe is the stronger tribe? The blue, the Manu tribe? No, Kama, no. Kama tribe, Kama tribe. They
the yellers.
They won on the puzzle because the blue tribe, although they were first, messed up the puzzle,
right,
and didn't think about it. They just started moving stuff. And then the yellow tribe won on the puzzle. So there you go. That's all I got.
And that's the team that Joe is on. So Joe and Aubrey are both on that team. So
right.
Right. And Eric, the hot firefighter, and Gavin, the young YMC coordinator, the gay teacher. Those are the only people that count.
Now, I found it interesting. I'm blurring episode one and two, so my apologies if I say something that was in episode two. But after they won, I recall Aubrey saying at some point she wished they hadn't won because she wanted them to go to tribal. She thought it was an advantage to be the first team to go to tribal council. So you know how everyone's going to play.
Yes.
And you can start pairing off. And she thought it was in that scene where the guy was teaching them all how to dance. And Aubrey was like, yeah, we're all hunky-dory and dancing and having a good time. But that doesn't give me any information about how
like
anyone...
when it's all kumbaya, she said.
Yeah.
Okay, that was episode two. So,
so
after
sorry.
The... That's all right. After the... the immunity challenge, the mopers go back.
Mope around.
The Manu tribe. They go back to camp. Rick. Who's Rick?
Rick is the gay teacher.
The news anchor.
Oh, the news anchor.
The news anchor.
Yes, the news anchor.
Rick and the Misfits start plotting schemes. The Misfits being the young black kid, Reem, Keith, and Wendy and Rick start kind of working together, it looks like. And they're saying, we should get out Kelly and Lauren. Kelly, the returner.
Right.
And Lauren is, she is a mom type?
No, Lauren. No, Reem
is
Lauren
the mom. She's the lawyer, the young lawyer.
Yeah, Lauren is actually a student at Baylor University.
Okay.
Okay.
It takes a while for us to get to know who the hell these people are. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's some... Go ahead.
Well, I didn't think Rick... Now, Rick was kind of working with them, but I recall that Rick was also talking with the other side who were already saying that they needed to vote out the young... Well, no. They were saying they wanted to vote out
Wendy,
the mom, Reem.
Oh,
so at first they were like, we want to vote out the mom, and then they also threw around Wendy. But I recall Rick being in a group of people that were having that discussion, and then when they lost and they went back, Reem and Wendy and the young black guy were trying to pull him in and say, well, you don't want to vote us out. You should get Wentworth out because she's a returner and she's a bigger mm-hmm. threat. And they were trying to kind of, it seemed like to me, he wasn't necessarily with them, but they were trying to pull him in and like, hey, guy, right. you know, hey, we can get the numbers and we can get someone that's a lot stronger out, you know.
Right.
That's kind of how I saw things. And it seemed like on both tribes, they were like, we need to get these returners out because, you know, they've already had yeah. their chance.
They've had their chance, yeah. right.
Of course, that's always yeah. the way it is when they're returners.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. So as you said, the group wants Reem out, War Dog.
Ugh. Oh, can I just say, War Dog, I already feel like he is the Tony of this season for me.
Oh, and he's marked.
And he has rubbed me the wrong... I don't know if you guys remember who Tony is.
Yes.
But he is the Tony of the season already for me, and I don't like him.
So I'm not a historical Survivor watcher, so tell us a little bit about Tony.
Well, Tony was just very... I don't remember. I feel like he was a police officer or something like that. But
something like that, yeah.
Real macho, bald... man's man sort of guy
and New Yorker kind of attitude and
yeah like and had to have the reins the whole time
and, you know, and Alex Lefebvre just heard me say that and you know because you know
oh because he listens right
oh right he didn't listen to this.
So he's yeah a real New Yorker man's man sort of and he always had to have control of things and he was just a jerk to a lot of people and mm-hmm. very schemey and conniving and would
swarmy.
Yeah. And he would like hide and like, listen in on people's conversations. He'd like dig, yes. he'd dig holes and like get inside the hole and put grass over himself and like listen to people talking to hear what they were saying and like all this kind of, I just, ugh. And then he ended up winning and I, ugh. Ugh. Mm. I can't stand him.
All okay. right. So War Dog.
It's on the shit list.
Tony.
Which means that when we pick teams, War Dog will end up on Adam's team.
No. And anyone who names themselves War Dog.
War Dog.
Ugh. Already gag me.
Yeah.
What I want to say.
I agree completely. All right. So they're all talking. And basically, they kind of come to a consensus about wanting to get Reem out. Reem is the mom type who pisses off people because she's been moving people's clothes around and she's like, you guys should be doing this. You should be doing that. So she's nagging people.
And, yeah. And there always seems to be a tendency to want to get the older folks out too. She's a little bit older. I mean, I wouldn't call her old because I mean, I think she's in her 40s, but
I think she's 52, maybe.
Oh, maybe. <I'm> sorry. But, you know, but she, you know, she kind of annoyed everyone and she's on the edge of being, she may be the oldest one on that tribe. I'm not sure. I didn't look it up, but
right.
she's an older one and they always seem to want to get rid of old folks or older folks.
Right. Okay. Well, we leave this period here with Reem sharpening a machete.
Oh, right.
And she's pissed off and we go to commercial. And then we come back to tribal council. So we got tribal council and Reem is basically the topic of conversation.
And sitting right in the middle. Everybody's all around her.
Yep. She's annoyed. She's pissed off. She's bitching back to everybody. People can't say anything without her getting, you know, her hackles up.
Well, they basically, without saying it as well, are saying that she's the one that's going home during the conversation. I mean, they're not trying to hide it. They're just she's been annoying. You know, somebody's got to go. Bye-bye. You know, it's just like there was no Jeff trying to pry something out of people. They were just like, yeah, we're voting Reem out.
Yeah. So the vote goes. 3 votes for Wendy. Woo! But 4
That's the blue hair.
The blue-haired Tourette's girl. And but four votes go to Reem, so away she goes. The tribe had spoken. So then what happens?
So she gets snuffed out and then goes down the path, and that's where she runs into the decision.
Dun dun dun.
You can go right and end your game altogether, or you can go left to the edge of extinction.
Yeah, it basically just says
take a torch and go get in the boat.
And so the people who were on, and maybe I should have known this having a Survivor podcast, but they have no clue that there's any kind of anything.
This is new.
Like,
right?
they do not know.
They're not seeing the teaser commercials we've been seeing.
I know, right? All these commercials we've seen. Anyway, she's like, what? And so basically they get on a boat and they go out to this island. And
I would just like to say that when Reem left, she says, I hope it pours rain down on those people. And then she goes out to her island and it's fucking pouring rain down on her.
Uh-huh. And it's like a shipwreck skeleton of a boat there, and the mm-hmm. mast, the crow's nest and all. Mm-hmm. On the tip of the island, and there's very little of anything there.
Right.
You know, the only fire she has is her torch.
The fire in her heart.
And the fire in her heart, right.
And well, I saw her trying to make a fire at one point. Did they? They didn't give us a lot of info, because I saw her using a flint or something, so they must have she must have had some kind of supplies.
Yeah, We saw in episode 2 she had a machete and a flint and a couple of other things.
But I'm going to tell you, I would not do good with this, because I've mentioned many times before on other podcasts, but when Mark and I first, like the first year we were dating, I thought it would be a good idea to take him on a canoe trip and camp. Mm-hmm. And we pitched a tent on the – and that's not a euphemism on a sandbar and everything. And when it got dark or time to sleep, he fell right to sleep, was just snoring away. I kept hearing noises over in the bushes, and there was like a raccoon or a possum or something, right? And I was like putting my flashlight up against the tent so the light would shine out there, and I saw these little glowing eyes looking at me. And I'm like, hey. And I'm like hitting him, are you awake? Wake up. Are you awake? I'm like, I think we need to go sit by the fire a little bit longer, you know, or whatever. And I could not sleep because then I started hearing like something snorting, like a deer or something out. I'm like, no.
Oh.
I'm like, I cannot take this.
Killer deer.
I know, exactly. So I could not go to this island by myself. I mean, I guess there's a camera guy there, so
But I mean, they're not allowed to interact or anything, I don't think, except maybe ask questions. But the thing is, you go there for a chance to come back into the game, mm-hmm. okay? But if it's any time you can't take it anymore, you raise the sail on the crow's nest, and a boat will come and take you away.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. So
it's
we
got
don't get,
to be difficult.
It must be. And I was wondering, like, does she get does she get rice? Like the tribes, they get rice. They have a certain ration.
I don't think so.
No, I think she's got to fend for herself.
That's crazy. So. And on day one, you haven't even gained any survival skills yet. Or day three, well, whatever day it is.
Hopefully you worked on that before you got there.
For Survivor, if you haven't at least taken a course at the local college on how to start a fire.
Right. Start fire and swim.
Right. Okay, well, let's get on to it. So Green is left to her own devices in the middle, in a pouring rain on a cold, dark island. And she's pissed about it still.
She's not happy.
Well, maybe there aren't any raccoons on the island, so maybe it'll be fine.
But those killer deer, they're everywhere.
Maybe.
And it's episode 2 now. So this is the most recent. We saw this on Wednesday, February 27th. It's day 4 for everybody. We have the Manu tribe, the Blue tribe. All there, everyone's talking now, right? It's the day after the eviction, or whatever they're called.
Right.
Wendy, the blue-haired girl, wants Kelly out, who's the returner.
Right.
She seems to have some friends with David and Rick. David is the returner. Rick is the school teacher.
No, Rick is the newscaster, isn't he?
I'm sorry. Yes, right. You're correct.
He doesn't look like much of a newscaster to me.
Well, you know, the problem is the camera adds 10 pounds and he needs to lose 10 pounds. So
I'm sure he'll be looking much more svelte after this experience.
Right. He may be hot by the time this is over.
Although, you know, I'm in a fairly small market, and we have some local news anchors that are not super attractive because, you know, we're like the bottom of the barrel, you know, as far as size. You start here and work your way up. So I can see where maybe.
So the sportscaster's name is Tubby, and it's not because he's named for Tubby Smith.
Well, he's
Tubby.
People are going to think I'm horrible, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Well, you're badges.
The lead anchor on our local weather station has had a stroke. One side of his face.
What?
And one side. Oh, he had a stroke years ago. I mean, this was like 10, whatever. But half of his face, his lip droops down. But he's been on that station for like 40 years or something.
Well, that's because, you know.
So they don't get rid of him.
Right.
But I mean, I can hardly watch it when he's talking, because he's, you know, it affects his speech just a little bit because he's got the droopy lip, and you see this droopy lip, you know, and he's talking, and I'm like, come on, you guys, you could find it. But they can't find, you couldn't fire somebody for having a stroke. So anyway.
There you have it.
There you have it.
Thank you. Clearly the Baptist Church has rubbed off on you.
Okay. So people are talking. Kelly, the returner, who is the strongest player probably, and Warthog want to go do an open idol hunt. People want to be looking for idols.
Wait, did you say Warthog?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
You know who I meant.
I know who you meant. I just wanted to point out that instead of War Dog, it's now Warthog.
Now I expect in the next episode he's going to be dancing around singing Hakuna Matata or whatever.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Well, that would suit the scene very well.
Okay.
All right. So people are whatever. There's a bunch of yik-yakking going on. The yellow team, they come up with the comma dance. The school teacher is leading the troop in a comma dance. I don't know what is going on over there at that tribe.
And if that didn't give it away that he's gay.
Yeah.
Well, that's when I was like, oh, yeah, he's gay.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Well, we have one team member on this show for the moment. Okay. Aubrey is, as we mentioned earlier, she's working every person in that tribe trying to get a friend. Someone who's just
she wants
like
a
her.
Dialogue. She wants to start a dialogue.
Right, dialogue.
You and me, we're just the same.
That's such a corporate term, too. I'd like to open a dialogue. You know, I mean, that's very like, I don't know. I don't remember what I said she does for a living, but that's a very corporate speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's a corporate executive. No, I don't know.
All right, so.
She's a marketing director.
See, that's perfect right there.
Oh, yeah, we got to get her off immediately.
Next week it'll be. I don't know if I have the bandwidth right now to do that, but let's open a dialogue about it, and we'll see if I can.
We'll circle back.
We'll circle back. Yeah,
right. We'll circle back in a couple of weeks.
Okay, day 5 goes by. People just talk and whatever. They're all hanging out on the beach. I don't know what they're doing. People are scheming.
Dancing.
Day six is the big immunity challenge. So this is a complicated one. This is the snake and puzzle one.
Oh.
They got to swim out to a cage, climb into the cage, untie the snake, get the snake out of the cage.
Get and the snake is like 30 feet long.
Yeah. And it's very heavy, apparently, but it floats.
Yep.
That's kind of like Eric's crotch. Very long and heavy.
Uh-huh. You know? And it floats.
A snake.
They take the snake to shore. They got to untie it, get some number discs out of it. There's a combination lock, and then they got to toss some rings at the target to spell the word immunity.
Right.
And there's a reward. You can have spices or a fishing kit.
Now, what would you have chosen, Faye?
I think I'd choose this fishing items. Okay. Who cares if your fish has
I don't eat fish, but I would choose the fishing equipment because, I mean, what are spices going to do for you? So the food's going to taste a little better, but if you don't have any food...
Well, if you're eating grubs, though, you're going to want to have a little bit of marjoram on them.
Right.
Garlic.
Rub them in a little more jam and, you know.
I would choose the fishing equipment as well.
Okay.
What about you?
I would have probably chosen the spices.
All right. I like my papaya with a little salt.
Right.
Okay. So we start out. There's lots of great crotch shots in this, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I highly recommend watching this episode for anybody who wants to. It's after the second commercial break, so you can fast forward to that. Kama team, the yellow team with all the hotties on it, the young men and the firefighters and all that, and Joe are the strongest. They are the most efficient. They seem to work well together. They go through everything. The blue team, who has already lost one team member, doesn't do so well. Keith is drowning, trying to swim.
Well, not only was he drowning, but when they get to the part where they have to do the ring toss, he can't even
do that.
He stays there for like, I don't know how many times he tries to throw that stupid ring. He should have just let someone else get up there.
He did better swimming than he did at the ring toss.
He couldn't even get close to those oars or whatever they were. He was either too short or too far. And he did it so many times, he was losing time for them.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. So I'm surprised. I won't foreshadow. Okay, so in the end, the Kama, the yellow team wins, the hotties win. They get their fishing gear and away they go. The other team, the Keith team, they only get four letters done of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 letter ring toss. All right. Shall I carry on?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So we come back from after immunity. We're starting to talk now about who should we be kicking off. Some people still want to have Kelly, the returner, the younger girl, to go up on the block. Warthog wants Keith out, the drowning nipple boy. Because he fucked everything up. Warthog wants a tough, strong team. And if we have somebody on the team that can't swim and can't throw rings, they're no good for nothing. So he's pushing for Keith to be kicked off. And Kelly is tuning in to the fact that she's going to be a target. So she's pretty sly.
Now, we don't know this yet, but I feel like Keith may be gay as well.
Yeah,
I can see that. But I didn't think that until we'll hang on for a second.
Okay.
All right. So we go through tribal. Lauren has an idol, which she doesn't use. Does anyone talk about the want to talk about her finding the idol?
It was pretty.
It was unremarkable.
She just found it in a tree.
They just had a little section where she's talking about, oh, I know Kelly Wentworth used to find all the idols and their idols, you know, who knows where to look for the idol. And all of a sudden I just see this
Kelly
tree.
Wentworth is her
team member.
Team member, but she's also she idolized her when she played and all that kind of stuff.
And I think they've been chatting a lot. I think the two of them, I wouldn't say an official alliance, but I think they've chatted a lot.
Yeah.
Because she even says when she finds the idol, she says, I know I'm kind of have a thing with Kelly, but I'm not going to tell her about this idol. And she like buries
which immediately tells me that she's going to tell her about the idol. But anyway.
Now, speaking of idols, going back a few episodes or some period of time, there was an interesting discussion between Victoria, Pippi Longstocking's girl, and the mother, the other mothery girl on that team, which is Julie, I believe, with the Etsy shop.
The toy maker.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the Etsy shop.
Ugh. They were talking about how boys do the work and the women are the gatherers and the men are the hunters. And they were talking about, we should be out looking for idols. Why aren't we out looking for idols? And Pippi Longstockings is like, well, I don't, why should I be looking for an idol? She's like, what up, girl? Go and find an idol, you dingbat.
Right.
She's just like, oh, I'm going to just pick my teeth with this piece of bamboo I got.
And what is it with all of them doing the folding of the palm fronds and making the that looks like the pot holders or something?
Well, I think I think they use those things to put on the roof.
Okay, but I mean, it's like everybody's sitting around making these pot holders.
Well, because you need a lot of them. I mean, you need to make a roof. You have to have a lot.
I guess. Anyway.
They do that every season. I mean, I just never noticed
it as much as this time. So,
all right. Well, let's go back to Tribal Council.
Okay.
Keith has put a target on his back, and so has the returner.
Wentworth.
And again, in this tribal, they're talking about because what's his name?
Warthog.
Jeff, thank you. He asks him, so is there going to be a blindside tonight? You know, and they're like, yeah, I think there is going to be a blindside tonight. And Kelly, the look on her face, it's obvious that everyone knows who the blindside is going to be. She knows who the blindside is going to be. I mean, in this conversation, right?
Right.
And I'm like, again, a second tribal where they're just basically saying who they're voting out, you know. Jeff is just asking them. He might as well say, hey, who are you guys voting out in a few minutes?
Right.
Because, I mean, they're just coming right out.
Do we even need to bother to vote? Why don't y'all just tell me right here?
Yeah. Why don't you just I tell you what, whoever's going to be voted out, why don't you just stand up right now and walk down the path?
Right.
Because they all know or seemingly. Now, this one turned out a little bit different. But when they were having that conversation, it was obvious that everyone knew who they were talking about.
I would just like to say that I didn't like Jeff Probst's cargo shirt either, with all the pockets and the stitching. It was a poor choice.
I don't recall it, so.
I don't recall it either.
All these pockets and stitching and flaps and snaps, and there's all kinds of things going on that shirt. It was a poor choice.
A poor choice.
I just feel like his questions, and maybe it's his fault, but I feel like his questions, both of the two tribals that we've seen so far, have been too on the nose.
Right.
Like, usually he kind of asks questions around the periphery. You know, right. He doesn't come right out and be like, so are you guys blindsiding somebody tonight? You know, I mean, I feel like they're just too, like...
Well, and he may be asking in all that in all of them, and you know, with the edit, we just don't see that part. Maybe they there weren't interesting answers for those other questions.
Maybe so.
So we go to the vote, and we get a vote. We all know Kelly's going to be going out. So Kelly, what's her name? The returner gets
Wentworth.
Thank you. Gets one vote. Wendy, the blue-haired Tourette's girl, gets one vote. Keith gets a vote. And in the end, Keith, the nipply mama's boy, gets voted out with four votes.
So apparently Warthog decided that it was time to get Keith out. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not a bad decision. And you get to keep your high-value target in Kelly, right?
Right.
And David, so, I mean, I don't know why David's not a target either.
Well, because I think everybody remembers him as being scared of everything and kind of wimpy, and he's not going to be – he's not going to be effective. He's not as memorable as Kelly Wentworth.
Okay. And she is a two-time player.
Right, right.
And she seems pretty strong to me. I mean, she works hard and she pulls her weight and she seems very strategic.
I will say I give it to the newbies that they're using. They appear to be using the returnees to get shelter built and get fire going, and you know, using their experience to try to help them. Because and you know, at some point they're just going to say, "Okay, we've got enough out of you. Let's get them out of here."
Right.
Mm-hmm. So,
all right. So Keith goes down the garden path. And he gets to the decision tree.
He comes to the fork in the road.
Exactly. And he's pleading with Jesus to tell him, give him a sign or something. I don't know. There was a lot of
It reminded me of last season. Do you guys remember when I don't remember the guy's name, but there's a thing where he has to pick a certain thing, and he's like,
God, give me a signal,
and the wind blows the flame or something. And so he's
that was the moment when he was standing there asking Jesus to help him that I said, oh no, he's a big old homo.
Well, and the way he was saying it, I mean, he's like, oh Jesus, please. Oh, I God. Mean, you know, I don't know.
And that's how the episode ended. We don't know which he's going to choose. So two questions here. Did you like the way it ended with that cliffhanger? And number two, which do you think he will choose? Adam.
Well, I mean, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with cliffhangers, so I guess I'm fine with that. But I just think, who would choose to quit? I mean, why did you go on Survivor and then go, oh, yeah, I think I'm just going to quit now? I mean, I don't see anybody quitting. I will be so shocked if somebody decides to quit when they get to that. Because why would you go on that show, get a second chance, and then be like, nope, I'm out? You know, I don't get that.
Okay. I agree 100%, because also you don't know what you're in for, because there's no information whatsoever. The sign says you can continue to play or you can go home. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know what they're getting paid, but it seems to me like a 20-year-old kid from Southern Alabama who lives at home with mommy is going to take even whatever pittance of daily pay they're getting to be on this show over wussing out and going home.
Well, I love the cliffhanger. Okay. I just cause they hadn't done that before. Okay. Uh-huh. They haven't done it before. So I give them props for coming up with a new way to end the show. Now, but I think he's going to quit.
Yeah, if I was him, I'd quit too, because I don't think he has it in him to. But he doesn't know what he's in for. He could think
But he knows what he's in for if he quits, because he goes to the Ponderosa and he has a vacation for the next month. Well, so
yeah.
He doesn't go to Ponderosa. Jury members go to Ponderosa?
Everybody goes to Ponderosa.
I think we need to ask.
Everyone goes to Ponderosa, but when the jury starts, they take the other ones, separate the other ones away.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a question for Evan Ayers. Speaking of Evan Ayers, he indicated that the only reason we have this is what is in a private message to, I believe, podcaster people. He indicated that the reason we have Extinction Alley or whatever.
The Edge of Extinction.
The Edge of Extinction is to keep Joe on the show longer.
We'll see.
Is that my understanding?
That's what he said. He said.
But we don't know the validity of this. We don't know the source of this information.
They're pretty good about keeping things under wraps, so I'm not quite sure. Some things slip out and all too. So
I mean, obviously they didn't go, oh, how can we bring Joe back and then keep him on as long as possible? Let's come up with the whole. I just don't see them determining a change to the game just around that one person.
Right.
But, I mean, who knows? Evan knows a lot of behind the scenes stuff, but what I want to know, and maybe we know this and I just don't know it, so you guys can correct me or give me the info if you already know it. But as each person decides to continue playing the game, do they go to a separate island, or they're all alone? Do they join the person that's on Extinction Island, or does that other person on Extinction Island have to do a contest with them, and then only one of them gets to stay? Or like, what happens?
I don't know the answer to any of that. My gut feeling tells me they go to the same Edge of Extinction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big mystery, and it's a brilliant.
But it seems to me
marketing ploy.
It seems to me you want to keep them alone, because that's part of the challenge of being on, you know, Edge of Extinction, is that you're all by yourself.
All of a sudden, you've got five people there looking for food when you're competing against them for.
And you're going to need a camera crew for each individual guest. Whereas when you have them in teams, you can, you know, have a couple camera people for everybody.
I don't know. I'm going to guess they find some way to keep them alone. Either they immediately have a competition and only one of them gets to stay.
Or what if one wants to quit and raises the flag, they all have to leave.
Oh. Right.
That would turn into some knockdown, drag out sort of, you know, fisticuffs.
In that case, to have a chance to win, then you'd have to take care of the others with you.
They're really toying with having like two or three different types of TV shows here, right? I mean, there's so much that happens in Survivor by itself. You have the two tribes and the immunity challenges and the people chatting and plotting against each other. And that's enough to fill an hour. If you add a second full competition sort of based interaction with two or more people, then you need a 2-hour episode to get out all the.
See,
all
I don't the, think they're the going to, I don't think that they're going to compete for anything, because I think the worst part of being on Survivor, kind of like the worst part of being in Big Brother, is the boredom between competitions. And if they're not competing, it's just, I mean, time just doesn't move at all.
Well, the show is called Survivor, And this is a very good way of making people survive.
Well, I'll tell you what,
ordeal.
If they want me to raise the red, the white flag, just put some raccoons out there and
right, and those and attack the deer.
I'm raising the white flag. As soon as I hear that snorting going on in the bushes,
I forgot about the snorting deer. Yeah. Anyway, so far, I think it's a good season.
Well, it's better than Celebrity Big Brother.
Oh my God! Well, that's not saying anything. By the way, Faye, just getting back to Celebrity Big Brother, did you send the prize to the winner?
Why, that's a very good point. I did. I mailed the Faye's notes from Big Brother Celebrity Edition to our winner, Chris, in New Jersey and Tennessee and wherever. So he should have them by now because I mailed them the very next day, directly from the Americas.
Oh, you mailed them from America. So
I did. I made a special trip down across the border, got a bit of a strip search and dropped the thing in the mail and then came back home.
So in other words, you were on Grindr while you were in America then. Okay. All right. Never mind.
I can neither confirm nor deny any rumors you might have heard.
Okay. Well,
Chris should have those.
All right. Well, Chris, maybe you can. And we will be having a game this season also, right, Adam?
Yeah, we will. So let's pick our teams next episode.
No.
No?
We decide with Survivor that we don't pick teams until we have the merge.
Okay. That's what we did last time, but I didn't know if you wanted to do that every time. Or
I would like to wait till the merge just so that we know them a little bit better.
All right. So we will do it episode.
How are
is
you
after
with that,
the...
Faye?
I'm happy. I couldn't pick a team right now, but if I was forced to, I would.
All right. Well, we can wait until after the merge. So whatever the first episode is after the merge, we will select our team.
That works
and
for me.
How many team members are we selecting?
Well, it depends on how many are still there after the merge.
Okay.
We did.
Edge of Extinction could fuck all that up because somebody could be coming back.
It seems like we did four before, but we may have to shrink that down because when we did it the first time, Fatty and I were the only two that were picking teams.
Right.
So we have to choose an amount so that we all get the same amount. So I'll have to figure it will probably be two or three a piece since there are three of us, depending on how many are left when they do the merge. So
very good.
All right. Anything else? Anything else that we got?
No, but we should say thank you to all those people in the chat room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mib, you never told us who you are.
Well, maybe Mib didn't want us to know.
Mib did not want to be identified tonight. So, anyway, I want to say thanks to Sam in the Hinterlands for watching Survivor. She's fallen victim to my persuasion.
Very good. Join us in the
and
chat.
By the way, she hates Joe's mustache also.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. I mean, maybe that's a thing now because, you know, everything comes back into style at some point. But I'm already an old man. I'm like, ugh. But I don't know.
Well,
I don't like
it. You seem to be sporting a bit of a mustache yourself there, Adam, today.
Well, I just haven't been shaving as I've been. Instead of using a razor, I've just been using a trimmer just because... Okay.
I can only imagine how those Baptists judged you today. I know. Since you did not even shave.
I am the Faye driver. You can see me at podcast. No, that's my email. Pinkwheelnuts.com.
So Fatty, where can people find you?
You can find me at Survivors Ready Podcast. And we record every Sunday night.
Yeah, we do.
Pride48.com, right, Mib? Okay.
Yeah. So we record at 8:30 p.m. on Sunday evenings. That's Eastern time. No.
No, that's Central time.
Sorry, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central. So if you want to join us, come on over to pride48.com and join the chat room and listen in live. You can find information about us over at survivorsreadypodcast.com, I believe. Is it Survivors Ready? I don't even know our website. You know what? I'm going to survivorsreadypodcast.com. That's what it is. And anyway, we will record another episode next week.
And Faye, do you go to daylight saving time next week?
We do. Yes, that's correct. I believe it's
okay.
The 10th.
So the time changes before we record again.
That's right.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Okay. Good night, everyone.
Toodles.
Bye.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find more shows over at pride48.com.